Good evening, everybody. We are approaching Parshas Shmos. What does the word Shmos mean? Names. Names. Okay, so we're talking about names this evening. Jewish names versus non-Jewish names. What does the Torah say? Ve'elish Shmos, B'nai Yisrael. These are the names of the Jews. Habayim Mitzrayim, Yaakov Bo. Okay, so these are the names of the Jewish people that came down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov Avinu. Says the Baal HaTurim, Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habayim. So if you take the first letter of the words, Shemos B'nei Yisrael Habayim, Roshei Tevos, Shviya or Shivya, namely captive. The Jews who were going down to Mitzrayim were captives, meaning their names went down with them in captivity. Says the Baal HaTurim, the author of the Torah, the son of the Rush, Sha'af, even though they were in captivity, they were in exile in Mitzrayim, nonetheless, what? Oh, Shemos b'nei Yisrael lo shinu shemosim. That's it. That's it. They never changed their Jewish names. We know Shabishvil Dal Devarim Negalim Mitzrayim, in the merit of four things did we deserve to be freed. Bishvil Shaloshino, we did not change our names, etc. And then he says, believe it or not. So, now, I don't know where he gets this one from. This, I guess, is his own Chiddush. Vigam Kan Ve'ele, the Vav. Why is there a Vav? Says this secret, meaning these Roshei Tevos, hinting to the Shmos in Shivya, was Vav is in addition to what has previously been mentioned, namely Yosef HaTzadik. When Yosef died, argues the Baal HaTurim, he instructed his children, Afal Pi Sheshinu Shemi, even though they changed my name, Safnas Paneach. Oh, so even though I unfortunately had to undergo a name change and go by an Egyptian name, Atem Al Tishnu Shmoseichem. So all of a sudden, in the first pasuk of the parsha and the sefer, the Baal HaTurim sees tremendous hints to the kedusha of the Jewish name, and also adds that Yosef himself gave a very specific warning: don't assimilate, meaning don't learn from me. I'm not a good example. I had to have an Egyptian name, but you specifically should maintain your Jewish names. And just the midrash that the Baal HaTurim is referring to, Vayikra Rabba, Parsha Emor, Lamed Beis Hey. Rav Huna, in the name of Bar Kappara, says, the four things were Metor, allowed us to be freed again. So, Shiloshino Shmami, didn't change our names, didn't change our language, didn't say Lashon Hara, and there was no illicit behavior. Now, here's where the Midrash elaborates a little bit. What does it mean we did not change our names? Loshanu Eshman Reuven Vishimon. Why? Nachsin Reuven Vishimon. I'm sorry. Reuven Vishimon Nachsin, Reuven Vishimon Salkin. We went down to Mitzrayim named Reuven and Shimon, and we left. We went up from Mitzrayim named Reuven and Shimon. I.e., we maintain the same names, the same, not the same people, but the same names. Now, what does that even mean? Lo hayu korin Lehuda Rufa Rofe. Oh, I know what I did here. That's so interesting. I think there's a little. I know what I did here. There were certain synonymous names. That's a, apparently Reuven you could have called Rufe or Rofe, whatever. And Yehuda could have been translated into Luliani, like a lion in a different language. And all of a sudden, what's the Midrash saying? That you could have taken the same Reuven and sprinkled a little bit of Egyptian on it, and it would have turned into this other name. Not Reuven, but like Rofe, Rufa, or something like that. And Luliani is the Egyptian translation of Yehuda, meaning we're staying true to form. Yehuda was a lion, so you might have thought that it's very appropriate to just call Yehuda Luliani or whatever. And even that, the Midrash is saying, we didn't even deviate to that degree. So the Midrash, I want to keep that in mind because we're going to learn a shita this evening that we're going to bring back. So what are we learning? That we were praised for not deviating to even the slightest degree. Because what might you have thought? That listen, even if you change the name, but it still has the same meaning, it's essentially the same name. What a good argument now, so we'll have to keep that in the back of our minds. Okay, so the first Makor this evening, again, was the Baal HaTurim and the Midrash. The two Makoros so far. highlighting the value of Jewish names and maintaining our Jewish names. But guess who is named in the Parsha? Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So now let's go a little further. So we know baby Moshe grew up and he was brought, namely Yocheved, brought him to Bas Paro, Vahila Lebein, and she, the Bas Paro, viewed him as a son. Atikra Shemo Moshe. Who named him Moshe? Bat. Vatikra. She named him Moshe. Why? Vatomer Kimin Amayim Mishisiu. Because I drew him from the water. So Moshe is a Hebrew name, no?
No.
Oh.
It's a different word. It's a different word. Moshe Mishisiu is different.
Moshe is a Hebrew name. The word Moshe. Okay, so Adam's already hinting, but ask the Das Zakenim, the Balei Tosfos. They say, wait a minute, Paro's from Egypt. It means his daughter was from Egypt. So who taught Basia Hebrew? It's a fun trick, people. No, imagine Basia naming Moshe Moshe. How did she know Hebrew to name him Moshe? What do you think? That's a good question. No, is that a good question? So you know what he says? She didn't name him Moshe. She named him something Egyptian that means Moshe. And the Torah calls him Moshe. The Torah called him Moshe b'lashon ivri. I mean, usually the Torah is very literal. And you have Unkelus who translates the Torah into Aramaic. But says about him, Moshe's name is not Moshe. Moshe's name was... pick your Egyptian name, that meant I drew him from the water, and the Torah gives us the censored, dare I say, Hebrew version of his name. That's the Balaturim, I mean, sorry, that's the Das Hakeinim Torah, that's Balei Tosfos. Davar Acher, no, another more, I'll say, more traditional. Yeah, we do have a tradition that Moshe had 10 names, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's a midrash. We don't know any of those names from the Torah itself. That's a good point. So Jerome's pointing out that on the midrashic level, we have a Masorah that Moshe had many names. It's a good point to point out here. But here in this context, I'm just pointing out, it's a great makor, mamish, in this week's parsha, where the Torah starts, ironically, by saying, at least hinting to the need to maintain our Jewish identity, the leader of our people, like the ultimate Moshe. So he himself might have had an Egyptian name. And Devar HaAcher, now the Das Hakeinim says a second answer, Shalom de Lashon Ivri, Mishaboha Ivrios the Mitzrayim. No, she picked up Hebrew. She picked up Hebrew, and when the Jews started moving down to Mitzrayim, in ShopRite, she overheard the Chevra speak Hebrew. Bas Paro, she picked it up. Now then he said, we have a precedent already for this, that leaders give Egyptian names, right? So seemingly Das Hakeinim is going back on his original answer, right? That in the same way that Yosef was named Safan Apaneach, you could argue that Moshe was named something else. Now, Ibn Ezra says the same thing. Now, what is Moshe? Miturgam b'lashon Mitzri b'lashon HaKodesh. The Ibn Ezra also. Moshe was not his literal name. Rather, it's the Torah's translation of what his name really was. And what was his name in Egypt? The Ibn Ezra says. Ushma b'lashon Mitzrayim haya Munoyus. Or I don't know how to pronounce it. Mem vav nun yud vav samach. Munoz. That was his name. That was his real name. Munoz.
But change it.
Very good, very good. Now, I don't know. I have to get just one of these Ibn-Ezra's on the shelf with the kudos. I don't know how to pronounce it. But I'll call it Munoz. It was in the Sefer Avodas Adama. And that's like Miloshon Mitzrayim. Eloshon Kedarm. From Loshon Kedar. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So what would be more logical to you, Joe? He says this is already in the Sifrei Chachmei Yavan. So the Ibn Ezra, was one to be exposed to a variety of texts. And he has seen it documented that Moshe had an Egyptian name. Wow. And right. It's hard to buy. Jerome. Right. But it was an Egyptian name. Right. And saying, obviously, he's Jew, you're saying. Right. So, and then he suggests also, like, the Bala, the Dazakanim, that maybe also she learned Hebrew, or maybe she asked. Okay. Now, the Bar Benel, he actually has a big Kiddush. We're just moving on in history over here. You know, the Bar Benel holds that who named Moshe? Yocheved. Yocheved. He's the only one that says that if you read the pasuk differently, it doesn't mean that Bas Paro named him Moshe, rather Yocheved named him Moshe. And when Yocheved gave Moshe back to Bas Paro, she said, Hine anochi karasi shmo Moshe b'lashoneinu ha'ivris. Yocheved told Bas Paro, here's the baby. And by the way, in Hebrew, we named him Moshe. His name is Moshe in Hebrew because you drew from the water. So it's almost like, you know, flattery. Like, Bas Paro, we named the boy Moshe in Hebrew after what you did. The only thing is that Netziv quotes this Bar Benel and says this is against Chazal. We don't like this. So the Netziv himself has an interesting pshat. And this is their final pshat in the parshanut for the evening before we go on to the halacha, that the Netziv argues like this, that in Egyptian there's a word named Moshe. And guess what the word Moshe means in Egyptian?
Follower.
It means yeled. Okay, I guess the word yeled could be like that.
Yeah.
And it would be normal, you know, like the name Junior? Like Junior. So the name of the son of the king was called yeled. So they would call him Moshe because the word Moshe, not in Hebrew, the word Moshe in Hebrew means yeled. I mean, the word Moshe in Egyptian means yeled. His name is Moshe not because of the Hebrew. His name is Moshe because of the Egyptian name Moshe. Wow. Yeah.
Ramses is Ra Moshe. It's the child of Ra. Ra is being the voter's
daughter. The child of
So Moshe must have had another name as well. Tutmosis. That's a lot of the
names. Very good. So says Dr. Karp, the Ramses, Moses.
And they took out the voter's daughter part of it. They just kept the Moses part.
Wow. That's a deep idea. I never put those together. But the only thing is, how does the Netziv get around the other part of the pasuk that we named him Moshe because he was drawn from the water? So says the Netziv, no. That's not the definition of the name. No. Bas Paro was saying like this. He was in the water and he would have drowned if I didn't take him out. I saved him and he's my Yeled. So I'm going to name him Yeled. The word Moshe does not mean I drew him from the water. I drew him from the water, so I get to name him. He's my kid. And what do I name him? I name him the name Yeled, i.e. Moshe. Wow. So I don't know who he's quoting then. Is if he's quoting Rabbi Shmuel from Medinas Beis Ayin Hey Yud Yud Mem. Bayam, I didn't look into these things, unfortunately, but he's quoting, and he likes it. And Netziv likes this pshat. He says that's the Be'er Nachon, and he gave a little bit of a twist at the end there. And then, of course, the Bar Benel, he does not like the Bar Benel. So all in all, we learned two things this evening. There is a significance to maintaining our Jewish identity, and specifically Jewish names, in the Gullus, and that will allow us to be freed from the Gullus. And Moshe's own name has somewhat of a secular potential history here, where the only one who said that his name was Moshe from a Jewish woman was the Bar Benel. And then Netziv said, I don't like that of Bar Benel. Because it's against the Chazal. It's against the... It's also it's not logical, he says. You mean to tell me, says the Netziv, that the son of the daughter of Paro had to listen to a Jewish woman and didn't get to decide the name herself? I mean, if you're raised by Paro, Paro's naming you. You're not taking orders from anyone. So if Yocheved says, oh, by the name, I named him Moshe, Bas Paro would be like, okay, like shkoyach, I'm going to call the kid whatever I want. You know why? Because I own this country. Right, so he says it's not Derech Eretz that the ben of the Bas Paro would be what? It's not. So Va'aleh Likaro B'Shem says then it's her job to call him the name. All right, so let's now bridge into the halacha. So is there a problem of going by a non-Jewish name? So around the room we have a Robert, a Jerome,
and a Peter.
An Adam and a Peter. Okay, and Adam I guess is the closest thing we have to a Jew.
So, it's not my Hebrew name.
Oh, what's your Hebrew name, Adam?
Yisrael Chaim.
Yisrael Chaim. Now, Adam thinks he could get away with this shady business. Now he thinks that he could. Now Fox News. Fox News 2 years later, we report an update. What we used to think was a highly religious man. Yeah. He's no longer. Now, my name legally is Jonathan Jacob. Now, they call me Yoni. Yoni is also not Hebrew. It's short for Yehonatan. So, Yehonatan, and Yoni, at least we're close. Now, Jonathan. So Peter and I have gospels named after both of us, right?
Jonathan is the same thing.
Oh, very good, very good, very good. So Peter's in real trouble, but we'll get me out of the woods this evening, and we'll see what we call Peter next week. But we'll have to figure out how we get out of this. All right.
I'm Mayor David.
Mayor David. Okay. All right. All good. Let's move on. Yeah.
Not even Hebrew.
Oh, yeah. Just when we thought we'd get Peter out of it.
Oh, but it gets even worse. Esther is Ishtara, is a Persian goddess Ishtara.
All right, Esther is Esther. Now, Esther is Esther. Don't worry.
Mordecai is Marduk.
All right, you're quoting the Marmiel, which is good, but Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, the point is, why am I prefacing with this? The point is that sometimes we have to be accepting. Even Moshe Rabbeinu.
Thank you.
Yeah, even Moshe Rabbeinu. Might have been named Munoz, and we call him Moshe. Like, even Moshe Rabbeinu might mean yell at an Egyptian. So we're the Nitziv, the Rosh Yeshiva Velazhen said Moshe was an Egyptian name. Let's not forget that. So Peter, we're going to accept you for who you are, because the Nitziv accepted Moshe Rabbeinu for who he was. So let's see some halacha. So what would be the first thing that comes to mind, going by secular names? So let's assume we all had Hebrew names, and I said, oh, by the way, there are Jews out there with secular names. What would be the first potential Isser? Or would it not be Isser? That'd be the first thing that maybe should be held accountable for what Isser. Oh, Chukas Ha'akum Suvus Amalei. Very good. Says the Rambam Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Very good. Aleph. Now watch closely. Ein Holchin B'Chukos Ha'Ovdei Kochavim. You're not allowed to follow the decrees of the idol worshippers. V'lo Medamen Lehem. Can't be similar to them. Lo B'Malbush. Not in the way you dress. V'lo B'Sear. Not in your hair. Here's the key line, ukayotze b'hem. And I think along the lines, lo selchu b'chukos ha'goyim, we know, and b'chusem lo selechu, all these psukim, the Rambam keeps on going to psukim. Hakol b'inyan echadu. It's all the same theme, says the Rambam. Maz hir shelo yidam elahen. Don't be similar to the goyim. Ela yiye yisrael muvdal mehen v'yadua b'malbushan u'b'sha'ar ma'asav. So again, the Jewish people should be distinguished and recognizably different than the non-Jews. And again, lo yilbash mebalbash hamyuchad lehen, v'lo yigadal tzitzis v'rosho, k'mon tzitzis v'rosham. Don't try to look like a goy, try to look like a Jew. So last year was just around Hanukkah, I think it was the Hanukkah shir last year. We have a shir entitled, How Jewish Does Our Clothing Need to Be? And Moshe Feinstein, this has a tshuva justifying like wearing American clothing, meaning our clothing now is not uniquely not Jewish, right? So he's the one who justifies the way we dress.
Well, the Ramah says if it's for shtus, it's one thing. If it's for avodah zarah, it's one thing. But if it's just the way they do things,
right. If it's for a doctor's uniform, yeah. So, ultimately, the dress we don't have to worry about. That was last year's year. But what was not on the list? What was not on the list was what? Was names. But who's the one that applies this Rambam to our sugya? The Maharam Shik. So the Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, right? 1800s, right? So, and he was the rabbi in a nearby neighbor to Pressburg, right? So the Maharam Shik, so he says that, by the way, to name a Jew a goyish name, he says, we got to talk about this. You know why? He says, the Midrash that we learned this evening says that the Jewish people were saved because they maintained their Jewish names. And some Jews think, he writes, this is in Yoredea Kuf Samach Tes, that as long as they have a Hebrew name, it's okay to go by their non-Jewish name. Like everyone here, right? I mean, everyone has a Jewish name. And the Maharam Shik is responding to this communal issue that he felt that people have, they call themselves by B'Shem HaGoyim. You know what he says? It's a It's that thought to think that as long as I have a Hebrew name, it's okay. Even though I go by my goyish secular name, that's Dover Hevel v'tipshus. It's no good. And we're going to be middle lenient soon. Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. Kibavada yesh baze iser de araisa. The Maharam Shuk is going to represent the extreme opinion this evening. We're going to see three schools of thought. We're going to see iser de araisa on one extreme, totally mutter on the other extreme, and we'll say somewhere in the middle. So what is the Maharam Shuk's view? That Rambam says you're not allowed to be like the Goyim. And that means you're not allowed to have non-Jewish names. So the Maharam Shuk is the one who just says very clearly that this is a violation of what the Rambam was talking about. Now, you have to realize that historically, the Maharam Shuk was one of the earliest fighters of the Reform movement. So you can understand that his tafkid, and that, I don't remember what year he was born in, but you know, what, I don't know if he made it into the 1900s. I don't remember. Maybe he made it into the early 1900s. I don't remember. But ultimately, if we're dealing with someone who lived in the early years of the Reform movement, you can understand why someone would understand the Torah to say, no way, Jose. Stay far away. Right. 100, meaning he was combating a real need. And it wasn't Issa D'oraisa at the time, meaning because it could be that the people who were changing their names were going to assimilate. And the Rambam's law, therefore, made a lot of sense. And it made sense for the Maharam Shuk to compare the current day Minog, right, to the Rambam. And he said he actually had a story where he went to a government official. Again, yeah, the town he lived in was called Yargin. I don't know if there's like a real J instead of the Yud, but yeah, Yargin, I looked it up earlier today. It's near Pressburg. And he said, I had to go on the Metrocal, is that, I guess, a trade? I don't know, some form of transportation. He had to go to the Sarm Yudaliza. So he, for some reason, he had to meet with the government official who was in charge of the names. And guess what the non-Jewish government official told the Maharam Shuk? He said, Lo na'ema shehayudim korin atzman b'shem ha-goyim. The non-Jewish official said, I don't like that the Jews are going by the non-Jewish names. He says, V'shar kol ha'umos machshivin ha'shemos ha'boim lem me'rosh ha'umos. And all the other nations that live around here, they all take a lot of pride in their family history. Wow, he said, it's a lot of family pride. And he says, but in contrast, he says, the Jews, they're boshim atzman. L'ikore b'shem ha'etzem, u'mesharim shmam b'shem ha'umos. V'zelem ganai gadol. So says Maharam Shuk, this is leading to an embarrassment to the Jewish people. That people are not proud of their ancestry, of their history, of their heritage. And it's not okay.
Is it possible that since Jews were persecuted, that they did this so that when they're in the outside world, they're a little bit covered?
Very, very, very good. It says... Very good. So in front of me, I have the Sefer Minchas Asher. Asher Weiss, his first piece on Sefer Shmos, is all about the names. And here is, I was meant to put this in the Makoros this evening. He quotes the Shut Maharaj Da, that there were people in Portugal that needed to change their names to hide their Jewish identity. And guess what happened? Later in life, when they were able to do tshuva or practice religion, what do they do? Kibul al atzman shemos Yisrael. So now the question was, were they allowed to use their original goyish names? Kishem kosrim lemechreyem shenishu beportugal o beinyanei mischar. So you can imagine on your passport was some name that you needed to use in order to hide your Jewish identity. So the Shut Maharaj Shtam said that even though generally we try not to use goyish names, ein iser klal. Wow. So that, Peter, what you just said reminded me, because here you literally have an exact tshuva of people who needed to change their names to hide their Jewish identity. And it was when it was safe for them to come out of hiding, the question was, well, it's a lot easier for us to not change our names and our legal documents and the business name, whatever. You know, on the cover of my office, it already says, Peter instead of, whatever. So ultimately, we don't want to change it. The Maharsham was lenient. Wow. And again, in the lines, he said, because there's no actual prohibition. So he was very much against the Maharam Shik. But the first extreme opinion is the Maharam Shik, and he had a little story there to go with it. So that's opinion number one. Now, in that Tshuva, the Maharam Shik quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Now, where do names come up a lot in Halacha? Hilchos Gittin. When you write a get, you need to write the person's name. And what if they have a Hebrew name, but they're called something else? So you know what we do? We actually put the name on the get. We say, Zundo Hanikra Peter. In the get, they won't only write his Hebrew name, they'll write what he's also called. We need to be extremely clear. What? Exactly. We need to know, we have to have crystal clarity on who this man who wrote the get was. So we say his actual name, and we say, and also this is what people call him. So, you know, I've heard this many times, you know, working with Rabbi Jachter a little bit. So say, you know, so-and-so, Yaakov, whatever, Anikra Jack, you know, Anikra Joe. Like, it's funny to hear when they read the get, you hear the name that's not a Hebrew name, but it's what we call him. So again, I think there's a difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi practice. I don't know too much about these things, but in that context, right? So it's from Rabbi Gamliel and the Gemara who made a takana that we write like all the names of the person in the get. And in that context, Rabbeinu Tam, in Maseches Gittin Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, is quoted in the Maharam Shik, Rabbeinu Tam Shaila is about a Mumer L'Avodas Kochavim. So imagine you have a Jew whose name is Yaakov, who went off the deep end, and now they call him Zeus, you know, for example. And he Beshita wants to be called Zeus, because he now worships, whatever. You know, he's a Greek mythology major and whatever. That's his thing. Whatever he wants to call Buddha, and because he worships Buddha, you know? So now the question is, in the get, we only called him Yaakov. We didn't put the name Buddha in the get. Is that okay or not? You know what Rabbeinu Tam responds? He says, Chalila lahazkir shem Oved Kochav B'Toras Moshe V'Yisrael. Wow. So says Rabbeinu Tam, of course you don't call him those names. You don't put a name of an idol worshiper in a get. Now, what's a little bit, can anyone try to guess what's a little controversial about that line of Rabbeinu Tam? Oh, very good. Rabbeinu Tam also said what? That a get is called what? Toras Moshe. You don't have to put a get in Shemos. It's not so clear that a get has the status of Kedusha. But Rabbeinu Tam said, you don't put a Shem Oved Kochavim B'Toras Moshe. Meaning, so therefore, it's okay if you, what? Only use the Jewish name. And you don't put his more commonly used name in this case, because the commonly used name is Buddha or Zeus. So one of the shiurim I listened to in preparation for the shiur was from Michal Zilberman Shlita. So one of the major Talmidei Chachamim YU. He was a Shalom Meisher when I was there. Zilberman. So by the way, should be noted, if you ever want to research this topic, so Rav Asher Weiss, again, as I said, first Siman and Shmos, by Michael Talbis, Sherfua Shlema, has number one, a sheer audio on YU Torah and an article on YU Torah from like 2009. Olamot.net has a major article, a major piece. I didn't look at it, but in English. What? Right. I'm just saying, you know, things that I was exposed to. Something that I saw but didn't actually look at was Rabbi Moshe Taub. Rabbi Moshe Taub has an entire article also. I did not get to look at that. But you know, I'm going to imagine there's a tremendous amount of overlap in all of these things. But something that we're going to, we'll quote Rabbi Moshe Taub a little bit, but I didn't really get to really look at that well. But there's one thing that I'll maybe speak about in the end, if we have time. All right, so just let me say, it's certainly not a new topic. So, where was I going with that? There was a little aside, just to point out that many people have spoken about this. Oh, so Rav Michal Zilberman, yeah. So what did he say? So what did Michal Zilberman say? That one time, and basically he had to deal with this case, where there was a guy who went off the derech, unfortunately, and he, in India, so he went to India, and his name was actually like the name of a god that they worshipped in his tribe. And in that case, they did not put his name in the get. They only put his original Jewish name in the get. They didn't want to put his Goyish Avodah Zarah name in the get, like this Rabbeinu Tam. Because Chalila, God forbid, you should put a name of an Avodah Zarah. But and again, now what does that also tell you? That the name, it's not Avodah Zarah, is not a problem, right? Meaning, you know, there may be different levels of Hebrew names, of secular names. So this is where I want to quote the middle Shita, the rugged shavit. So the at Safnas Paneach, he lived in Dvinx, right? What did the Rogachover say in the Shaila? That he said there's a difference between secular names that are like mamish secular, as opposed to what? A name that is just the translation of a Hebrew name. Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, Rabbi Michael Talbis, right? Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, right? What's unique about these names? They're secular, but they're not really secular. Right? Jonathan, right, is basically Yonatan, right? And therefore argues the rugged shover that if there's just a targum of Lashon HaKodesh in a different language, lo ichpas lan klal, we don't care about that at all. But then he says, if you change your name mamish to a secular name, that's usher. So here is the next level of up. So the Maram Shik was like Eshu Lahava, very upset, no secular names. And the Rugachover, so, oh yeah, he was the one who made it to the 9th century. I think he passed away in 1908. That's where I'm getting confused with the years. So he lived slightly later than the Maram Shik, but they overlapped. And the Tzafnas Panech, the Rugachover, he argues that not all secular names are the same. You can have a secular name that's kosher, like Rabbi Benjamin Yudin is really Binyamin. So, come on, that's not like secular. But then the question becomes Roberts and Peters, hypothetically, and Jays, you know, Adams and, you know, Jeromes, right? Let's get Adam out of this. So ultimately, we need a Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein is American, so to speak. Not that he's actually American. But we need a more contemporary posek to know that no one here is trying to hide their Jewish identity and try to slip away into, you know, the early reform movements. So it says Moshe Feinstein, there's no problem having a secular name. No problem. You know who had a secular name? You know what a secular name? The Gaone Olam. The Magen Mishnah. Rabbeinu Vidal, Vudel, Vakama Gaone, he says, look at the Rishonim, Maimon. Who was Maimon? Rambam's father. Maimon's a Jewish name? I don't think so.
The Ramban was Bonestrop Saporta.
No, his name was Moshe. What do you mean?
No, but his Italian name was Bonestrop Saporta.
Okay, so again, you keep on whipping out these are really smart, like scholar things tonight. Like,
all right,
you're great, Adam, right? But like, his name was also Moshe.
Okay.
So Adam points out that apparently the Rambam, he had an Italian name. That I remember?
Italian.
Yeah, because I mean, he wasn't from Italy. Yeah.
He was
so,
from Spain.
So Catalan.
Yeah.
So there's not. I don't even know such a language. Catalan is a thing.
Yeah, Catalonia.
Catalonia. Oh, now I know. All right. Thank you for the clarity. Okay. So, in Fairlawn, we know these things. So, what's the idea? So, Ramosha is a Yesod. So, number one, he points out that many great people had these tremendous names. So, here's a nice line in there also. So, therefore, there's no issue. And he's dealing with someone who wanted to name his son a secular name after the grandfather. So my brother had the shayla. He wanted to name his son Alex. You know, now my nephew has a Hebrew name, but like my brother felt like a little bit like weird. He's like, in our generation, we all name like a lot of us name like Hebrew names only. And my brother wanted to name his son after his grandfather, my grandfather. But he's like, Alex, I get the name. But he calls him Alex. And Ramosha says, of course you should call him Alex. You should be covered of the family. Wow. It's like the opposite. Like, you have to respect your grandparents. Call your kid Alex after your grandfather. He says, the only thing that you have to point out, says Ramosha, a big yesod. There was a person who asked him a shayla about the son, the kid, named after grandmother. He said, you want to name it after a razel, and you want to just add a dalet, like drazel. He says, don't do that, because drazel's not a name. So Ramosha's like, don't add a dalet just for the name of it. For the sake of it, like, to like spunk, you know, keep it cool. He says, that's not a name, and it doesn't have any significance. Like, the name Drezel has no meaning, nothing to it. So Ramosha says, at least choose something that has a significance. But here's Ramosha's big yisod, with 2 minutes to go on the clock. Ramosha says, do you know why Klai Yisrael were praised in Mitzrayim for maintaining their Jewish names? Do you know why? If they didn't use their Hebrew names, how would they have identified as Jews? They had no other way to identify as Jews. They had no Torah. They had no mitzvahs. It was before Matan Torah. But if you're Peter Weissman, who goes to Minyan every morning, you go to Shiur on Monday night, you're Jewish enough. You know what I'm saying? So you could use a little. You could use a little spice. You could use a little cinnamon. So that's why Peter actually goes out of his way to keep people on their toes, right? So it says Ramosha, there's no issue anymore with secular names because we are already identifiably Jewish through our Masorah nowadays. And that is a perfect response to Maharam Shik, and it makes so much sense why some, by the Gadol in the 1900s would say, oh, there's no problem. Come on, but number one, there is no problem. No one ever said it's Usher. And he's looking at the wonderful Jews of New York who are trying to, build the Jewish community. He's okay, maybe they don't have Jewish names, but he understands that we're heading in the right direction, as opposed to Maharam Shik, who dealt with Jews, unfortunately, who are heading in the wrong direction. And so when you look at that Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam's like screaming at you, don't become a goy, so you have to have a posek to understand whether or not this is a violation. And after this background, I guess we could just posit the question, the very modern Hebrew names is a shiloh that's being now asked. Oh, very good. So ironically, in Israel, there are a lot of non-traditional but very symbolic names. So therefore, there are different poskim. On one level, we'll say it's just not our Masorah. Like, you have to be loyal to the classical names. While other poskim will be like, what's the issue? Meaning you have a Jew naming him after a theme. Yes, so again, that would be maybe for a sequel. But I guess we'll stop here this evening.